Are you going to work? Let's raise our hands together and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation and fresh application. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. The things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. And he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. We are commencing Holy Ghost meetings. We did that already in the first service. And I told them, I'll just recap a few things I said in the first service. Now, there are different kinds of meetings in the body of Christ, or in the scriptures in the body of Christ. And you must, know about them. If I use an example, sometimes you can just be used to one kind of meeting. And we do that our best through the year, not to get you used to just one kind of meeting. Just come to church and there's just a kind of meeting you're used to. Kenneth E. Hagin, who has gone to be with the Lord, he did write a book, Plans, Purposes, and Postures. Book I've been reading for at least 27 years now, and I make it a duty to read it maybe twice a year, sometimes once, and basically to reinform myself. There are three books I read, like that. Plans, Purposes, and Postures, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, and Following God's Plan for Your Life. And these are three books that, they keep you always following the plan of God. What's the plan of God for church services, for church meetings? Sometimes you could just find yourself doing activities. I called, there was a convention someone invited me for, and I said, what's the convention about? They said, it's a convention. I said, I know. What's the purpose? A convention, sir. Normal convention, we come, we have someone will give us a word from the Lord, and we sing. I said, I know. Those are the activities. What's the focus? He didn't know. We need to know what's the plan. What's the purpose of God for this? So Brother Hagin did say that most of the time what we do is just mix everything up, and we're not sure of what kind of meetings that we are holding. And that got my attention years ago, to know what kind of meeting is this meeting? What kind of focus is it supposed to have? So there are different kinds of meetings in the body of Christ. So I mentioned this in the first service, that there was a guy who told me, I don't believe, why can people be praying like this? He saw some people praying and groaning, praying and shouting, and they're on the floor. So he said, if this ones know who they are in Christ, God is not so difficult, you'll be shouting like this and screaming, this is not prayer. Because he only knows one kind of prayer. So he's ignorant. So sometimes you can be so ignorant and you talk in arrogance. And I said, no, you're actually the one that is ignorant here. There are different kinds of prayer. That prayers that you are not necessarily asking God to give you something. And such prayers, they have this kind of dimension to it. The same way you can be used to a kind of church service. A kind of, kind of church service that's how you think church is. So when you see something out of the normal, you may criticize it and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. And because you are ignorant, so you feel that what you don't know, all right, is wrong. Whatever you don't know is wrong. And that's a very arrogant way of looking at the things of God. So we have different kinds of meetings. Let me just run through what I said in the earlier service for the purpose of just this. So we said there are different kinds of meetings. The primary meetings are teaching meetings. What do I call them? Teaching services. Teaching meetings where we primarily teach doctrine. We teach Bible doctrine. You just focus on a subject or different subjects and you explain them. And we saw Jesus do that a lot of times. Matthew 4:23-24, he taught in the villages and preached. Matthew 9:34-35, he taught and preached also. In Matthew 5, from verse 2 to Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, we saw Jesus teach. And people even said, they were astonished at his teaching. Matthew 5 verse 2 to Matthew 7, 28 and 29. We have such meetings where you just come to teach. And that's a primary meeting in the church. It's a major meeting in the church, okay? So next, we have prayer meetings. Now, like I said in the first service, the fruit and result of teaching is prayer. Prayer naturally flows from teaching, which is when you hear the word, one of the responses we have to the word is to pray. So prayer meetings naturally will flow from teaching. So a church will organize its services in such a way that have prayer meetings, or sorry, teaching meetings and prayer meetings. So when someone starts in the church, I usually ask them, when are your prayer meetings? We're not praying yet. What are you now doing? We'll just be hearing the word. Then there is no outlet for what you are hearing. So you must have an outlet. If you hear the word, the outlet for what you've heard is to pray. So we have prayer meetings. So we have Jesus. Now, prayer meetings is not you praying alone. Jesus had instances in Matthew 17 verse 1 when he took his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a mountain apart to pray. Also, we saw him do the same thing in Luke's Gospel 23. He took them out to pray. So we go to pray. Okay? And prayer meetings. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 24, the church were together and they prayed in one accord. I would say that the day of Pentecost was a prayer meeting. How do we know? Acts 1:14-15, they continued in one accord in prayer. Acts 2:1, they were in one accord in the same place. Acts 3:1, we saw Peter and John go to the temple in the hour of prayer. So it was a prayer meeting. So a prayer meeting is you can't have a church that teaches doctrine and don't pray. Then there's something wrong in what they're saying. So a prayer meeting will flow naturally from a teaching service. So we have number one. Number two, prayer. Now, the third is an outreach meeting. Now, these two are a natural response to what we hear. An outreach meeting, which is we go. Now, some people call it evangelistic meeting, but I've taught you over the years that the word evangelist, the way it's coined in scripture, is not how we use it today. But, you know, for the sake of understanding, let's call it evangelistic meetings or outreach meetings, where we go to preach. Matthew 9:36-37. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he sent forth 12. So that's an outreach meeting. In that one, we go in twos, like Luke 10, we go in twos or threes. How many of you have gone like that before? You go, that's an outreach meeting. We're going to reach people. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That makes the third kind of meeting. Now we also have healing meetings where we call for the sick to heal the sick. In James 5:13, he says, is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? He said, let him call for the elders, right? Who will pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So you have the kind of instance where the elders will gather to heal the sick. Now we have instances like that too in Luke 5:17, where Jesus was preaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. So we have healing services. So we have healing school, for example. We have different kind of meetings where we pray for the sick. This month, we're going to also have such outreaches where we go to pray for the sick and pray minister to the sick. Also, crusades, as we call them today, to minister to the sick as well. So that's the fourth kind of meeting. Now, there's a fifth kind of meeting, which is a minister's meeting. Now, I use the word ministers because we often call ministers pastors. So that's why I use that word. But let's call it a leader's meeting. Now, it's not everybody that should be in every meeting. Okay? And we have times that Jesus is talking to the multitude. Okay? We also have times that he's no longer talking to the multitude. He has a selected number. Maybe 70, maybe 120. Okay? Then we also have times when he's talking to the 12. Just the 12. And there are times he's talking to just 3. And there are times it's just one person, Peter. So, we have different kinds of meetings like that that is exclusive. Now, the danger sometimes is today is because we have a tech savvy age where it's very easy to record something and, you know, broadcast it. And some of us have been extremely silly at things like that. What do I mean? There are prophecies that we could give in a meeting that shouldn't be broadcast. Some of you record them and post them. Not here. There are things, for example, that are not said to the body of Christ, but to a particular church. And such meetings are special meetings. You are in a workers' meeting, you are in a leaders' meeting, a workers' convention. Some things are said to you. And sometimes you find some folks, maybe they'll put the things out on social media, on Facebook, and the guys are making comments and say, what does it mean? Maybe the pastor says, I forbid all the brothers in church from praying on Tuesdays, just on Wednesdays. So I say, what does it mean? Can he be stopping people from praying on Tuesdays? Who is he? Is he talking to you? And you know, because someone recorded it and put it out, and everybody thinks they're talking to them. No. There are things that are exclusive. And such meetings, Jesus will tell the people there, tell no one yet. And the book of Acts, we have such kind of meetings. In Acts of the Apostles, when Jesus rose from the dead, he had the 120 or 400, whatever number we deal with, and they were like exclusive. No one went home to say, guys, he told them, don't preach yet. No one went home to say, guys, don't tell anybody. Jesus don't raise you. But he said we should not tell anybody. You know, because you are my, I can't hide anything from you. And now I want to ask somebody you cannot hide anything from. So everybody's being stupid. You get it? But how did these guys do it? They're well taught, well cultured. They kept the information till the time they're supposed to say it. Exclusive meetings. In the book of Acts 2, when there was a doctrinal problem, and whether the Gentiles could be saved at some point, Acts 15, 1 and 2, or whether they need to be circumcised, Acts 15, 4 and 5. And they called the apostles and elders. It wasn't a Twitter space conversation. So people ask me sometimes why I don't get on arguments on social media. I said, no, when you want to resolve doctrinal issues, you sit with those who handle doctrine. No, it's not for the whole world. In Acts 20, when Paul also wanted to have a meeting, he called only for the elders of the church. Acts 20, 17. That's an exclusive meeting. Let me add this. We have three books, or three letters, let's say four eventually, that were exclusive to leaders. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and maybe Philemon. Exclusive to leaders. If you read those books, those letters, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and maybe Philemon, without having responsibility in a local church, you are not going to understand the application. So we have such meetings. They are ministers' leaders' meetings. Now, the final one, which is all over the Bible, but thank God for someone like Kenneth Hagin that made us see it in a better light. A Holy Ghost all believers' meeting. A Holy Ghost hand believers' meeting. What do I call it? Let's start again. What's the first one? What's the second one? What's the third one? The fourth one? The fifth one? Ministers or leaders, very well. Now that one can also be workers' meeting, right? Okay. Then the sixth one, Holy Ghost or believers' meetings, or both. Now, what is a Holy Ghost and believers' meeting? Of course, from the look of things, it's many times strictly believers. Now, why is it called a Holy Ghost meeting? Because it doesn't follow the normal protocol. You know, it can be a little bit illogical, unplanned, okay? And it can be a little bit, you know, different from the other ones in the way it pans out. So Brother Hagin will say, a believers and Holy Ghost meeting is where, of course, believers are gathered together, just like today. Do we have believers here? Let me see your hand if you're one. Come on, thank you. So we have believers in here. I saw Chelsea fans raise their hands, I think. Oh, God. Now, I think for this year, don't wear blue again. I mean, it's affecting the grace of God upon my life. Yeah. So, how do we get here now? So, come on. Okay, yeah. Believers are gathered together, plus Chelsea fans. And, and then the word of God is preached and given first place. Any meeting at all, even if it's a workers' meeting, the word of God should be given first place. So the word of God is given first place and is preached. Okay? But now the characteristic of this meeting is that the Holy Ghost is giving free course. Now I expect in these meetings, for example, It's not the kind of service that, okay, we're teaching and you're just listening and all that. Of course, you follow instruction. But you see, the Holy Ghost is giving free course, which means at some point in the meeting, you know, we can be interrupted at some point and things will go differently. Look at Acts 10. Peter is preaching while Peter yet spoke. He wasn't allowed to give altar call. He didn't even round up his sermon. He's yet to finish his sermon. The Holy Ghost fell. How many of you love things like that? I love you, about you. I love things like that. Amen. Sorry, I love things like that. I love things like that. You know, poof, Holy Ghost fell. Poof. You know, as Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. It's not the typical meeting. The Holy Ghost fell. So, the Holy Ghost is giving free course. And when he's giving free course, what are the things that we'll see? We'll see demonstrations of the Spirit. I don't know, a demonstration is an activity. There has to be an activity. If you have gone to sell, have you been anywhere to sell an object, something before? We say, we have, I remember I was selling, there was a time my company was producing plastic products, so we're doing paint buckets. So we told them that our paint buckets are strong. Is that all right? So they asked us to come and do the demonstration. You know? Demonstration. So at my factory, we just test it. Yes, it's fine. So I went to a major company in Nigeria and I knew the managing director directly. So we're in his office and he served us tea. I was very feeling cool. So they took the paint bucket and then they poured, I think, paint inside it. So we should come and see the demonstration. So I now said we're going up. For what? To see the demonstration. So they would drop the paint bucket with the water from the top floor. Wow. And so, you know, I didn't even see it land before it crashed. It was so terrible. Because I looked at the engineer and thought, what? The man looked at me and he felt, this cannot fly. The thing, we didn't even see the pieces in it. The thing was gone. Bam! That's demonstration of what you claim to have. So if you go, you say this thing can work, say, let us see it work. Then you say, buy it first. Say, buy it first. No. Let's see it work. So a demonstration means an activity that proves that something is working or it's present. So demonstrations of the Spirit evidence the presence of the Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Ghost is here? Or just a few of us. The Holy Ghost is here? What about in you? So what is a demonstration of the Spirit? The demonstration of the Spirit is an activity that shows the glory and power of the Spirit. A demonstration is a sign. A demonstration is an activity that shows the presence of the Spirit. Okay? Now, a demonstration is not subjective. What do I mean? Now, you can say, I know I have the Holy Ghost. That's fine. You should know. You have the inward witness, Romans 8:16, to know you have the Holy Ghost. But a demonstration is not an inward witness. It's an outward activity or an activity whatsoever that shows the presence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus said in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. There is a demonstration, an activity that proves the existence of something. So, we said number one, the word of God is preached and given first place. Number two, the Holy Ghost is giving free course, room in his demonstrations. In his demonstrations. So what are the things to see? One, there will be utterances given by the Spirit. So there will be utterances given by the Spirit. An utterance given by the Spirit is not a regular conversation or a regular discussion. Rather, it's the Holy Ghost giving you something at the spur of the moment to say. So usually we have tongues interpretation of tongues and prophecy. What do I call it? I want everybody to get it. Come on, let's go. Tongues. And what else? Prophecy. So, if the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, what do we see? Tongues. Uh-huh. And? Say it again. Tongues. So, when the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, you know, that is not a Bible study. In a Bible study, you are taking notes. But in a Holy Ghost meeting, you are giving room for tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. What else? When the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, we have revelation. What kind of revelation? We have what we call the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is when I have an information that I didn't gather by anybody. God gives me an information of something that has happened or is happening. So when the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, things will come to us. You know, there was a meeting, I went to a Holy Ghost meeting. So I'm ministering, and that was last year actually. And one of the ministers turned to another minister right there, who is a friend. Both of them are friends. He's just in the Holy Ghost meeting. And he says this, so and so said, your wife has so and so from this organization. Now, point is, there was no such application that she was aware of. He said, no, they are going to give her this kind of opportunity and all that. As I'm speaking, the wife is there now. So we went for the meeting a year after, and that was on a testimony. So the Holy Ghost gave an information that wasn't, the guy didn't have it from his head, it came from the Spirit. The same way, you know, we have such demonstrations of the Spirit. A fellow was in the meeting, one meeting I missed recently, and came in the meeting, and I said, you're a twin. I said, yeah. He said, your twin is in the hospital. I said, yeah. Now, I didn't know, I wasn't in the church before, so I couldn't have known the person was a twin. But that's the Holy Ghost giving an information, right, at the spur of a moment. So sometimes it deals with what's happening now, or this is what's about to happen. So that's the word of wisdom. So also we have discerning of spirits. Now let me pause on that one. In these meetings, look up guys, stop writing, just watch what I'm about to say. In these meetings, we're going to have a strong demonstration of discerning of spirits. Raise your hand, say, I receive.
A strong
unusual demonstration of discerning of spirits.
I see
into the Spirit.
I see clearly
spiritual realities
and spiritual beings.
Raise your hands that way. Yeah, we do see them. Yeah, we do. We do see them. Yeah, we do see them. Yeah, we do see them in these meetings. We do see them. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let's continue. Put your heart to what I just said now. All right? What I just said now, keep it somewhere. Okay? So, we're going to see much of that. The third thing that we see in demonstrations, we'll see physical demonstrations. One of them is healing miracles. Healing miracles, creative miracles. We'll have gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and the gift of faith. Gift of healings, workings of miracles, and the gift of faith. Now, that also includes physical demonstrations where, you know, things will happen. For example, people falling under the power of God. Like I mentioned, some people believe they were put on the floor. It's a demonic activity. No, that's nonsense. That's not true. We have people on the floor because, just like Peter, just like Paul, they're probably in a trance, an encounter with God's Spirit and God's power. Maybe I should mention something I said in the first service. You know, don't find yourself ever criticizing something God is doing just because you are ignorant. It's not everything that you know. There are things that you don't know. Sometimes it's just good to just keep quiet. And get like that. There are times that some things are fakes. They're fake and they're fake. But you know it by the word, not by the way you feel. By the word. I've seen demonstrations of the Spirit that I couldn't explain until later. I couldn't explain them until later. It was later on that I could explain them. There was one meeting like that in 95, I think, yeah. And I called people out to lay hands on them to be healed. And they came out. And everyone I laid hands on, before I got to them, they had oil on their head. Now, I couldn't have sat down to explain that then. I just wondered, why do we have such physical demonstrations? This was about 27 years ago. I could have said it anyway. I could have said, maybe all of you have demons. Nope. I just said, I thank you, God. Amen. But I knew with time, light will come. So, you know, I don't know what's good. What kind of thing is that? I told them in the first service. First time I saw someone, you know, rejoice in the spirit. And he's hopping down, he's leaping. And I'd never done it before. I thought that you have to play. But nothing was kicking, and he's up. And he's laughing uncontrollably. I'd never done it before. But I didn't say nonsense. I just said, well. But, it's something about believers too, because we have the Holy Ghost. You just know this is of God. You might not have everything in your head. You might not know. So this is of God. This is of God. I couldn't explain it then, but I knew this is of God. I walked into a meeting like that. People are praying and they're groaning on the floor. And I had never done that before. I would pray long hours, but I'd never seen that experience. But I didn't say, what is this one? These people shy? But I just knew. I knew. I may not be explaining this, but this is of God. Now I can explain it. Right? Because it's in scripture. Then I didn't know as much as I do today. I still have much to know, definitely. But I didn't know. So, truth is, there are such demonstrations of the Spirit that it might not have come to your knowledge yet. And it's right there in God's Word. And because, particularly those of us who are the 21st century Christians, we are more New Testament thinking. Now, when I say New Testament thinking, I mean Matthew through to the book of Revelation. In fact, we're even selective. Book of Revelation, you just abandon it. I don't know. Which one is us? You just stick with, I am in Christ. So, you see, the Old Testament looks like in the past. So, those rich spiritual experiences look like they are past. So, we're very prone to think things are weird and excessive. I had the presentation last year. I mentioned it in the first service. And it was about the same things. And I just to take the work of the Spirit through the ages, it became a book eventually, Charismatic Movies Volume 3. And then someone asked me, he said, Chris, that was after the presentation, he said, Chris, but how come, we don't see these things? I said, we don't teach them. In fact, not just that we don't teach them, we say that they are in the past. And people oftentimes will flow with the level of their desire. A few years ago, 24 years ago actually, I was in the nation of Zimbabwe to preach. And I got to this church, some of you know the story well. And I got to the church and the first service was in the morning and I could literally feel there was a problem. And you could see there was this cold. These are good guys. They looked Christianly, heaven bound and stuff like that. And they were okay, but there was just this response, and I knew something was wrong. Brother Hagin would say, it's like you are washing your feet with your socks on. So after the service, I called the pastor, an elderly bishop. I said, sir, what do you believe about the Holy Ghost? Like Paul in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost? You will know. Something will just be off. And these are disciples, they have their Bible like that. But not so. And I then said, what about the Holy Ghost? The man said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, they are always waiting for it. That they have second work of grace class, sanctifying class, like salvation class. Oh. I said, wow. That's great. He didn't ask me what was great. But I didn't tell him what it was. But I said, great unbelief. That would have been my last session. He said, that's great. I said, oh. So in the evening, I was prepared to teach them from the word. Obviously, something had been said to them that hindered them. Sometimes you've heard something. You've heard something wrong. And I mean, last week I had a healing service and I told folks, I said, bring whatever you have to heal the sick. I said, can I bring water? I said, whatever. But you won't leave the service and say, oh no, you got water. That was you not do. But someone said, hey, I said, I've been bringing the water for how many years? About almost 27 years, 28 years. I said, yeah. But I don't carry them around. And I've gotten a lot of results from them. Say, you, who would have thought what? Do you know me? You don't know me. Like somebody was describing me to me one day. He said, I know you were, sir. You were running the chambers for like 20 years. You now made money. You now stopped to go and pastor. I said, me? He said, yes. I said, thank you for telling me. On social media, people are very, very knowledgeable. He was talking to me about me. You know, that's knowing who you are in Christ. You know, so the next day, the next evening, sorry, the first day, the evening, I began to share with them about the Holy Ghost. Now, naturally, you know they were like that in the morning, but I began to share. And I thank God for the background I had. We could quote scriptures. So as I was quoting, that also got their attention. I was quoting the scriptures without opening. You know, and then the bishop and his other clergy, they were behind me and I could see they were furious. But you see, sometimes the move of God can be here, something else is going on here. So, and as I was sharing, you could see people going and they were checking. I said, the next verse there, then that text, you could see that something shifted. So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking other tongues, come out. And they came out in their numbers. So I assumed the bishop and his other associates felt I was going to call them to minister with me. It's a small number now. So I called my friend Matthew, we're together. Began to lay hands on those guys. Now, because I had given them an information that they were wrongly informed of, desire came. Hallelujah. You don't desire what you don't know. So, they came out in their hundreds, I believe, and began to lay hands on them. You know, let me mention another one like that. I think Brother Alex was in this one. This was about 9 years ago. That's 19 years ago. And so, these guys called me to come and preach for them. So, I came to preach. And so, the guy who was going to invite me said, I don't know his name. At the conference, can I say, I don't know his name. When he comes, he will introduce himself. Because the person they called to preach did not come. So they quickly called me and was begging me that I should come. I said, no problem, I'll be there. I came. So I began to preach. By the time I gave a call, just by putting out the word, the whole place was full outside. To get ministered to by the Spirit. The one of the people in the ministry, Pastor Anne now, she said to me, she said, Pastor, because I'm laying here, she said, do you want to look back and see people that are waiting for you? I said, why? Because the way you are laying here is a bit slow. So I looked back and I said, go with me. But my point is, just by putting out the word, right, people's desires were strengthened. They just came out. So just like the Zimbabwe scenario, you know, then they came out. But the thing is, as we can lay hands on them, you will know that those tongues were stored. They came out with capital letters. You know, there's capital letter tongue. You see full stop, you see comma there. They came out, and so those guys, you know, some of them when I walked towards the bishop, and I go, mom, bro, bro, bro. Now, I was sure that was my last meeting there, so I'm preaching, I'm going, I know they will call me again, you know. But the point is, what shifted from morning to evening? Lack of information. Then secondly, a wrong notion was corrected. A wrong notion. You know, some of us believe that when you see things that are wild, it must be a demon. We think when it is God, it's like this. Holy Ghost, holy, 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 What is that? It's like, manifestation. Manifestation. You know, that's a wrong idea. It's an extremely wrong thinking. Hallelujah. You know, some of them say, all these things, people jumping up and down. I did it when I was in school. I said, no, you are backsliding. I said, come and see something. This is your Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this? He said, Jesus. What did he do here? He rejoiced in the spirit. Let me show you the meaning. He was leaping up and down. He was running. He said, hey, now you have grown pot belly. That's not spiritual growth. Lay aside every weight. If God is jumping, who are you? God's uncle. So you know, so much is the wrong information, wrong thinking. And Brother Hagin tells us, wrong thinking produces wrong believing. So when you have wrong thinking, you believe wrongly. So as soon as I put out the word, the desire came. Let's get back to it. So the Holy Ghost meeting, we said the word of God is preached and given first place. We said secondly, the Holy Ghost is given room in demonstrations. We said in utterances, in revelation, and in physical signs of, let's say, workings of miracles, gift of faith, and gift of healing. Number three, the needs of the people are met. The needs of the people are met. The needs of the people are met. Just last week, someone had been bleeding for weeks. He was due for surgery. Bleeding for weeks. In the very first service, I just pointed and I said, go check it now, the bleeding is gone. That was the first thing I even said at the pulpit or so. And the person went ahead and came and said, wow. Now, I had not even preached. But the needs of someone was met. Now, it doesn't have to just be healing. I just told you another one, right? About my friend and his wife and on a program that she was invited to. So the needs of the people are met. And finally, we are all edified. We are all edified, built up, strengthened. And we leave through the door of rejoicing, which means there is so much joy in such meetings. So let's go over it again. The Holy Ghost meeting, the Word of God is preached and taught and given first place, right? Number two, the Holy Ghost is given free room, free course in utterances, revelation, and power. Three, the needs of the people are met. We are all edified and we leave through the door of rejoicing. How many of you believe God for that in these meetings? Come on, let me see how you believe it. Amen. I believe God for that. I release my faith in that direction. Glory, 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 glory. To have the Holy Ghost have free course. Now you're not going to deal with this next week. Sometimes, you know, for some of us, and this goes with a good number of us, not just some. A man named Miles Monroe once said this. Dr. Miles Monroe, he wrote one book about purpose or something. But I remember hearing him say this some 30 years ago. In that talk, he said, the enemy of the better is the good stuff. The enemy of the best is the better stuff. Now why he said that was, you can so much love a particular experience and you will not have another one. So there's times like that you are fixated. And some of us, all we have about the Holy Ghost is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And you are so wired that that is all you expect in a Holy Ghost meeting. No. Hallelujah. There are depths to the things of God. There are depths and dimensions to the things of God's Spirit. There are dimensions, the width to the things of God's Spirit. And for some of us also, we could get so familiar with the things of God. And you get so familiar. You're used to something like that. And I will share this story. how I'm going for a conference. Of course, it's not in the country, so I usually go every year. So this particular year, I left from church here, that's here, Saints Community Church. I preached two services, had a workers' meeting or so, so I had to fly out in the evening. So I was really tired. I think the weekend we had a seminar and all that, so I was really tired. So by the time I got on the plane, and for the first time in a long time, I had to fly through another country, so it was not a direct flight. So I really was tired. So right there on the plane, I was telling myself I was not going to attend the first session. That, you know, and why did I say that? I didn't say that the first time I went for that conference. I was eager to be there. But I'd been going for a while, so it was easy now to say, I can just get the CDs, you know. It happens to all of us. So I was like, okay. So I was telling myself that I was going to miss the first session. I was going to buy the CD. Like some of you say, I'll download it. I was confessing it. You know, when you are saying it to yourself, I will miss the first session. It is missing. I've missed it. Missed. So I was, you know, and I know I respond a lot to words. So I was saying to myself, you know, I have to, you know, I'm tired. I mean, what's the point getting to the meeting? I'm all tired. I'm not even going to get blessed. I was telling myself that. It's not a long time, it was recently. So don't think it was when I was a baby. I was your pastor. I'm still your pastor. When I said, So which means, you know, I'm talking with the feeling of our infirmities. So I'm telling myself, no, I'm not going to attend it. No. And why should I? I should not. I'm tired. You know, and that is wrong. It's actually a sin. Taking things for granted. Now, let me say a B side to that story was that, now I had to use a card, of course, to use your foreign exchange card to buy stuff. So usually you book for a room and you pay. So I've taken my card, hoping to just get to the hotel, rest, sleep, then come for the evening session. Now at that time, Reverend Tokes, the director of Rema, was also going for the same conference. So I'd assumed we'll see, you know. So here I was, as I flew in, just about the airport, and there's a way God deals with all of us. He let me do all the ranting. So as I was about to land, he said, I just said to myself, pardon me, that, well, why would I come all the way from Nigeria to force sleep? I said, no, we have not so learned Christ. So I said, So I told myself, so I will have to go. I will go. What if I now doze? You know, I don't doze in church. That would be a first time. No, I doze in one guy's service. He was preaching nonsense. And I was the host. I will tell you, because there was no Saints Community Church, so don't bother your head. And I was like, this is the only time I've ever I dozed. So when he was gone, he said, does he have another session? I said, no. Another what? So, you know, so I told myself. So, you know, I really practically dragged myself to the meeting. You know, when you're murmuring inside, so I have to go. Okay. So I took my bag there. Now, unknown to me, the card had been blocked by the bank. Which means if I had gone straight to the hotel, I'll have been stuck at the hotel. I won't be able to leave the hotel or go anywhere. So, like fella would say, double wala for dead body. I'm not going to go anywhere. So, but those are the things that God saved me from. So I got to the meeting and I took my bag and had to drop my bag, and I'm still going inside and I'm like, I have to be at this session, right? I'm already there anyway. Just trust I'll be blessed. That's how you know that people are praying for you. Because your own prayer is not working now. Somebody from the village is doing you. So, you know, almost certainly we began to pray. Then the minister said, there's a minister from Nigeria. Now, I've had this kind of encounters many times. So I said, just this session. No, it's very possible for the minister to have said that. And I was at the hotel room struggling. And they would say, the person is not here. No, the person was supposed to be here. And I came out and then someone else was there, a Nigerian too. And she said, no, the pastor is from Nigeria, not a Nigerian. He came from another kingdom. So that became my call. And that was the only call in that session. see where my village people were doing me from. From the pain. And why would I even entertain such thoughts? Because I am getting familiar with the things of God. And of course, now you have money, you know, you can buy the CD. You know, you have the money. You have the way you can buy it. When you didn't have the money, you will go to the meeting. You will not miss any session because you didn't have the money. I was showing my friends some routes in Ibadan yesterday. I said, I used to walk this path. I said, because I didn't have transport fare, I would say, let's just pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. They were good. I said, this is not about just praying in tongues. You don't have the transport fare. I was like, let's just pray in tongues. It's just talking about strolling and talking. But God is faithful, you know. So, you know, that was it. And that taught me a lesson. Do not take things for granted. And some of us are so arrogant. God's Spirit says to pray at 4. You say, I'll do it by 7. You've lost it. You've lost that particular blessing. Because it's for 4. And I always share this as well. Some 20 years ago, we were at a conference, and I was the one preaching. So I'm praying for the last session. It was a Holy Ghost meeting. It was an evening on one of our campuses in Nigeria. So the Lord showed me a vision. I saw this brother. He came into the service as I was preaching. And God said to me, he said, I have something I want you to tell him, but he will not wait to hear it. He will leave the service. And so I was in the service, and I'm wondering. I saw him in the vision. He came in. He sat to my right. You know, the auditorium was like this. So there was a side facing this side. So he sat on this side. It was a small auditorium anyway. So he, as I was preaching in the vision, he would say, yeah! Oh, God! And I'm wondering the vision. So he will leave. As soon as I said, let's get up, he walked out. The Lord said, you have something to say to him, but he will not wait. So I got a vision. I was being troubled. I shared with the pastor, the host. I think I told him. So I'm thinking, Lord, let me just tell him now before he runs away. I'm thinking like that. But God just wanted me to see how we miss out things. Someone wants to come to church. They're looking at our wristwatch. How long is he going to preach? I have to go. You don't do that at the embassy. They say, are you the 9 o'clock? It's now 12. You don't say, I'm not staying. You say, 12. It's just 12 today. You say, no. Maybe 6. No. Where am I going? You know? So, as soon as the meeting started, it was an evening. Some of our pastor leaders were there. He came in. And I saw him. And just like the vision, I said, hey! I realized, oh boy. Go. When I said, let's get up, I looked at him. He went out. And those are the kind of things God said, don't do anything about it. Why does he show us things like that? So we could caution ourselves. There are people today who are praying for things they lost. They will have gotten in a meeting. Oh, I have to go somewhere. I have to see somebody. I have to this one. I have to, you know, those moments. And it's lack of reverence for what God is doing. So for some of us who have been around the things of God, that could be our problem. We now think we know what God is going to do. We seem to know the direction is going to flow. And we now find those who are new entrants. Let me show you another story. Let's go to see this. We had this Holy Ghost meeting some 23 years ago as well. And you know, so Satan is quite a very interesting fellow. We had had pre-Holy Ghost meetings, and those meetings were very blessed. So we had called it Holy Ghost, March 12th to 14th, actually, 1999. And the meetings were, I mean, we had planned for it, so we had had pre-meetings that were full of God's power. But somehow, 2 weeks to the major meeting, that's how brethren started striving. People started arguing over stupid things. The brethren organizing the meeting. And you know, I was now resolving conflict every day. You relax now. Okay, sir. But sir, we're no longer praying. Okay, sir. Yes, sir. As you go, because I don't understand what pastor is saying, but my own, you know, that was what we're doing. So, but we had invited people to come. Okay? So, as the meeting was going on, you know how, you know when you're in strife, a lot of things are happening. So I didn't pray. Yeah, look at him. Say, so brother, let us pray. Just to... So I did a song and says, we lift our hands. Because you and the person are having beef. With the great I am. With the great I am. Whatever. Just, you know. And that was going on. But we had brought in some guys who invited people. So after the meeting, the brethren now were discussing among themselves. Now said, you know, there's something wrong. Look at the Holy Ghost meeting that we have planned for. The thing was not as, we didn't see the move of God like that. The people that were fighting are the ones that now know we didn't see the move of God. So I didn't say anything, but there was one guy, his name is Benga, he was in Lagos University, he was one of the leaders in the campus fellowship. So he, I think he had graduated, graduated then. So he came for the meeting. Now, he now said to me, and he wasn't the only one who said it, that he had, and this is a guy who had been around churches and, you know, the Pentecostal world. He said, I'd never seen the move of God like that in my life. In fact, a few years ago, I showed Brother Alex, and Brother Alex knows him very well. Brother Alex, a pastor in Yabu, they are going away and all that. So I said, look at the story. The guy now wrote the story on Facebook that he had never witnessed the power of God like that. He now called it Believers Convention. That's what he called it. In 1919. I said, that's the meeting I was telling you. Whereas the people that organized it, they couldn't see anything. It's familiarity. Before you were an organizer, you used to fast before. Now you're an organizer. You are now knowing details. You are arguing. You are fighting people. When you were being invited, you go and fast. You say, ah, God, hey, this is my meeting. Now that you are one of the planners, are saying, should we do this one? You know, you are no longer fasting and praying. You now get to the old place, you are saying, I think God moved the beat last 5 minutes. I think you are in trouble. So I said, see this guy. He saw what the brethren did not see. So one day I called one of them. I said, you are arguing and fighting some. When did I cast that demon out of you? I know when you got born again. You forgot your own tongue. That's edit and review for you. Sometimes it's good to tell stories. So you are now sitting over a meeting. You know, because we can get familiar. And that's why Paul's instruction for the things of God is to hunger, to covet. 1 Corinthians 12:31, 1 Corinthians 14:39. He says, covet it. Covet means to be hungry for it, to want it. So you can get so familiar with them. You know, we have identified two things. We said one, you can be stereotyped such that you have a particular way the Holy Ghost must move. Some of us, for example, if hands are not laid on us, we don't yield to the Holy Ghost. Some of us, if we don't go in groups of twos or threes. Some of us, if we don't sing. No. Expect the Holy Ghost to move in diverse ways. What did I say? Say it again, come on. Say, I expect the Holy Ghost to move in diverse ways. So don't be stupid. Don't have a particular method. Don't organize the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Don't organize it. You must start like this and that. No. The second one is what I mentioned. Lack of honor, which is from over familiarity. Lack of honor. You know, years ago, we had this believers meeting, also 98, interesting, 98 had many events. And my friend Pastor Doku, you know, who is one of the leaders of Rema Center, now we used to, he was my junior in secondary school, and we, I think it was in Fieldhouse too, yeah. So he's a great minister of the gospel. So we're having this meeting, and this guy, he'd been in the ministry too, so as soon as we wanted to have a Holy Ghost meeting, he started walking out. So when I went to him, why are you going out? He said, I'm used to these things. That's how he said it. He said, I'm used to it. He Say, concerning spirituals. I've been there. So I think he was one who said this, not me. Paul the Kuna said, I said this part. I said, because you know concerning spirituals, you are living. So why is the Holy Ghost staying? He didn't know it's concerning spirituals, that's where he's staying. You know, unknown to us or me, then my friend knew by the word of knowledge that he had a skin problem. And he was in the dark. And he said, so and so and so, and this part of your body. The guy looked up. And he's a yellow fellow, so you could see the face turned blue. He said, so go back into the meeting. Pride. No Holy Ghost. He felt that I know what's going to happen. No, you don't. I said, no, you don't. Because the Holy Ghost can fall in different dimensions, in different ways. And the needs of the people will be met and we will be edified. Hallelujah. Amen. We go for more. And more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't box yourself in a corner. The corner of over familiarity, which is dishonor, or the corner of being stereotyped, thinking God's going to do it like this. God's going to do it that way. That's how God's going. No. There are different dimensions to the things of God. And I believe God that in this month and the months to come, we're going to see diversities. Hallelujah. Now believe in God that you will see in these meetings things you've never seen before. What about praying about that for 1 minute? Lord, this meetings, I want to have spiritual experiences I've never had before. Come on. That I've never had before. The ones I've never seen before. There are many things you've never seen. There are many things you've never seen. That you should see. There are many things you've never experienced. Come on. Come on. Go ahead and pray. That I've never seen before. Now, 1 second before we go. We're still praying. Don't pray it in tongues. Say it in understanding. They pray it in tongues. Things, say, Lord, I desire. Rich spiritual experiences. In these meetings. I break away from over familiarity. I'm hungry like a child. To receive the things of your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Holding that. You know what we said? I said it as I was speaking. The sign of spirits. Right? Where, what does that mean? It means you will. Oh, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. So, you will see things visibly. Yeah. You know, those are not strange things. To see things visibly. You know, when Paul says, I will not have ignorance. In 1 Corinthians 10. The nation of Israel, many of them, hey, these are guys who were basically stiff-necked. But you know, they saw things. You know, they saw things. They heard things. They did see things. They were not born again. Amen. In John 12, folks standing by Jesus, they heard a voice. Right? So, what's the problem with us? They were just by. Some say it's a thunder. Some say an angel. But they heard something. Amen. Our Christian life should be full of experiences. Full of experiences. You know, those experiences will help your prayer life. They will help everything you are doing. There's something about experiences. It just puts vitality to your Christian walk. You just know, yeah. You know, the thing is just, it's just something it does to the Christian life. And we are open for wild things. Yeah. Weird things. You know, look at Acts 1. They were all hearing Jesus And the way they interacted with these things were so interesting. And as Jesus left their sight, and then they saw two beings just say, "What are you guys looking at?" And they were not talking normally. Said, "Now you see." Said, "You see?" God, "Oh, okay, all right." You know, what is like? Why? Because they were conscious of it. Today in church services, people are trying to fill up the church with activities. What do we now do? Let's call comedian. No. There's more to see. Amen. Get it? There are more things to see. I mean, people standing by. They were in John 12. They just said, "We heard the thunder." No, it's not thunder. No, it's a legend. I mean, can you imagine that? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. In C26, tell that all. Me and friends were having a Holy Ghost meeting together and we're praying. And you know, as we opened the door, whatever hours, someone was stuck on the door. People were running because something was going on inside. Amen. Why does God do things like that? What kind of question is that? It's God. A demonstration is a proof that something is working or is present. Hallelujah. You know, in the Bible, the Holy Ghost is active. Right? Active? He's also active here. Yeah, he is. And we're open. You know, one thing about this month is that even at home, your prayer life, you begin to have encounters. When you are praying, many of you are going to see angels, spiritual beings for the first time. Yeah, that will happen. And it's our realm. It's our realm. Let me tell you, one of the reasons why I don't fear voodoo, let me tell you why. Because I've had many encounters with the spiritual world. But don't short-circuit yourself. Now, we've spoken about the Spirit of God that we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting, which means this is the time to have rich experiences. Look at Ananias. The way he spoke to Jesus was like, "Ananias, hey Lord." He didn't say, "Ananias, who's that?" Say, "Hey Lord." Amen. And that's going to be our daily experience from today's service. How is it you're going to preach and you see an angelic being just say, "Hey, go there." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Discerning of spirits. To see things in the spirit. To see spiritual beings. To see operations. To see things. You'll be made to see things walking behind the scene. You'll be made to see things in the future. Or things happening around that are not visible. Amen. These are glory days. Yeah, glory days. Glory days. Glory days. Yeah. Diversities. Amen. Not following any protocol. Acts 10. Where Peter yet spoke. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell. He couldn't finish the sermon. Do you know the end of that sermon? I don't know it. So there are times the Holy Ghost interrupts things. And I'm saying that, just like prayer, you're praying in one way and the Holy Ghost interrupts and you're praying in another direction. Same thing this afternoon. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 We are open to the moving of the Spirit. Sit down. We are open. I'm closing here, but sit down. We're open to the moving of the Spirit. To the movings of the Spirit. To the movings of the Spirit. To see the cloud of glory in our meetings. Thunders and lightnings. Yeah? 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 How can you have a Christian life that is just like that? That's the experiences. Amen. 1 second. You know something? Don't do, I said in the first service, if I'm in a meeting, if I open my eyes, it's not to be a spectator. It's to see what God is doing so that I can join Him. That's all. That's what I mean. We receive the cloud of glory. Yeah. You can take it now. Take it.